Good morning to everyone. It is truly a blessing to be in the house of prayer. It's great to be able to come together in fellowship and tell of God's goodness and share a word with each other. Amen. Scripture reading is coming from Jeremiah chapter 20. I want my son to know I'm not talking about him this morning, but I am coming out of the book of Jeremiah. He doesn't like sharing his name. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Reading from the King James Version, Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord had not called thy name Pashur, but Magomesper. For thus said the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, and to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Every one mocked me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, say they, and will report it. All my familiars watch for my heart, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the souls of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Amen. May God bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. I read a lot of that for a reason. A lot of times when you're studying God's word, this is where a lot of people lose information. But you all wouldn't allow time for that. But you, sometimes you have to read chapters before, ahead, to understand where you are now. To understand why people are in the situation that they're in and in the condition that they're in. It's the same as in life. A lot of times, people's present situation is because of what they did a couple of days ago or some years ago that brought them to where they are right now. You talk to some folks, they'll say, I ain't do anything wrong. I did nothing. But we all have done something. So it's all always good to read chapters ahead. But I read all of that so you can get an understanding of what's going on, you know, in this chapter. One of the things that I want to talk about is discouragement. Discouragement is a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. And so when you discourage someone, think about you taking that person's courage or their enthusiasm away from them. Okay? So when you discourage somebody, you're taking their enthusiasm and you're taking their courage away from them. So that's something that you really don't want to do. Okay? You want to build that confidence in them. Okay? You want to let them know to hang in there. You're doing all right. You know, yesterday, you know, my son played a very physical team. He held his own. I told him, hang in there. You're doing all right. Everybody's not going to be cupcakes that you're going to be playing against. And man, let's just be real. It's going to be some guys that's going to be physical and they're going to be tough. Amen. I played against some guys when we won and beat them, you know, you had to shake hands at the end of the game where they put spit on their hands. And man, that I'm just being real with y'all. That's the environment that we played in. But what I'm saying is be tough, okay? Be tough. Don't allow somebody to discourage you. So what does the Bible say when you feel discouraged? In Joshua chapter 1, you can find it in verse 19. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. So God is even telling you to be encouraged. Amen? God is telling us to be encouraged. Discouragement is a part of life. Discouragement comes when you do the right things, but you experience poor results. You know, it's like a preacher, you know, when he's up preaching, you get discouraged after you preach a message and you preach your heart out, and then only to see sinful people turn a deaf ear to what you are speaking and don't repent. That could be discouraging. I mean, you up here giving scriptures, showing how God is making a way out of no way, showing how God is good, you know, showing these things that God is capable of doing. I mean, you preaching your heart out, you sweating, you got towels up, rags up here to keep you from dripping in sweat. And then all of a sudden people leave and they still be like, you know, yeah, he did, the preacher did all right, but I ain't ready yet. I mean, you do that, and that could discourage you. You understand what I'm saying? Imagine you, let's take it from just a let's take the spiritual out of it. Let's say you coaching a team. You pumping energy into these kids. You're telling them, come on, you can do it. You got to have some fire in you. You got to have some drive in you. And then all of a sudden, they go out there in the court like this. That would discourage you, right, as a coach. Here it is, you like, come on, y'all can do it. Work together as a team. Let's pull this through. And you doing all of that for this team, and they get out there, they ain't passing the ball to nobody. You understand what I'm saying? And the coach say, well, there's no I in team. And then you get one of the players, but there's a ME in team. Let's be real, y'all. So you show up for practice every day and giving it all that you got, but you still lose the game. You spend time with your children going over, you know, life and telling them the things that they should do. You do the best parenting you can do, but your child still go a different direction. That's discouraging. So here it is. Jeremiah was reluctant to prophesy from the start. See, when the Lord told him that he had ordained him a prophet before he came forth from the womb, Jeremiah said, I can't speak, for I'm just a youth. The Lord, and you can find it in Jeremiah 1:6, the Lord reassured him, do not say you're youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. God is saying, you ain't speaking your own words anyway. You're going to speak the words that I give you. See, this is why it's very important. When God speaks, that's when you should speak. And when God stops speaking, then you stop speaking. Now, what I mean by that, I'm saying if God gave you a word to say to somebody, you say exactly what God said. And when God is done speaking, then you should be done. Because anything else will be you, not God. So Jeremiah, the prophet, encountered difficulties in his life, preaching to people of Judah. Let me tell you something. If you are God's child, there will be some suffering along your journey. If you are God's child, there is no easy sailing as a Christian. I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't going to just get saved and you're just going to float on into heaven. That ain't going to work. No, that ain't going to work. Jeremiah was often arrested and threatened with violence because of the message God assigned to him. The message of invasion of by the Assyrians and the 70-year captivity. He told the people to repent, to seek God's favor, to turn from idols and the practices of the pagans and the cults that they were doing. And God was trying to tell Jeremiah, preach to these people, tell them enough. Jeremiah wept bitterly over the reproach that fell upon him and often been deemed the weeping prophet. God gave him a message that was not favorable to the people. Understand what I just said. God gave him a message that everybody don't want to hear, but he still had to preach it. Now, I know a lot of people like to go to these pastors and these churches that's preaching prosperity, that's preaching, you know, name it and claim it. You understand what I'm saying? We love that type of message. You know, you're not the head. You're not the tail, you're the head. We like those type of messages. Go out there and get that house. Go out there and get that car. Go out there and do these and do those things. But we don't preach about. See, God's word is a word of conviction. It'll tell you if you're living right, and it'll tell you if you're living wrong. The problem with people, they don't like to be told. Jeremiah's message was not pleasant to hear. If Jeremiah was actually had a local church, probably would have been just him and his family. Because nobody wanted to hear this message. It spoke of unhappiness and destruction. He shouted violence and plunder, but the people did not want to hear it. They took out their anger on Jeremiah. Now they getting mad because they don't want to hear it. Y'all ever told somebody who is a liar who's a liar? They don't want to hear that, do they? What about somebody who's a thief that's a thief? They don't want to hear that, right? My point is, you know, the people don't want to hear what they are. They tried to ignore him, then they mocked him, and later openly persecuted him. So they discouraged him to the point where he was like, man, I ain't signed up for this. Discouragement starts to take its toll. And it starts to eat away at a Christian. It makes us want to quit. Say things we shouldn't say. That's how Jeremiah felt. God called him to speak a harsh message to a rebellious people. And Jeremiah was so angered, an assistant to the high priest, chief security officer came that was in the temple, arrested Jeremiah, beat him, threw him in jail, locking him in stocks so that his body was like knotted up in pain. And here was a man in deep distress. He endured physical, emotional, spiritual, and professional anguish and for doing God's will. Here's what I read about. These Christians who have preached God's word that we are reading about, they went through so much physical pain, physical trauma, and they yet still continued on preaching God's word. Here it is. We'll have somebody in church that will not, maybe pass by us and didn't speak. We'll be ready to throw up our bloodstained banner and go home and not come back. I ain't going to that church. There's some hypocrites. But yet you out there on the golf court with a hypocrite. You understand what I'm saying? You going to the mall with a hypocrite. You going to the store with a hypocrite. But yet when you come to church, those are hypocrites. You are surrounded around hypocrites at your job. But here's the thing. So Jeremiah is in jail, but he was released the next day, emerging with a sentence of his own. He gave Pasher a new name, Terror on Every Side. And the name described the terror Babylon will inflict on Judah, specifically the fate of Pasher. The man was a liar, so God ended up dealing with him and ended up burying him in the land and called it basically the land of lies. Here's what we need to focus on. Even though Jeremiah was discouraged, but Jeremiah rose above discouragement. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, keep in mind, Jesus was fully God and he was fully man. When the human side kicked in, and when Jesus had his highs and lows of human emotion, grief and joy, despair and delight, And Jesus wanted to basically, hey, is there any other way? That human side was kicking in now. I don't want to do this. But that God side kicked in and said, this must be done. So Jesus, like Jesus, Jeremiah reminds us that even a faithful servant of God can become discouraged. Jeremiah lived above his feelings and fulfill God's will. That's a blessing. You got to live above somebody not speaking to you. You bigger than that. Amen? My grandfather used to say to me, you got a mouth, why didn't you speak? So my point is, you bigger than that. You can't allow that to deter you from coming to church. So Jeremiah was a man ready to quit the ministry. What was the use of continuing to prophesy to the people? They were headed in captivity anyway. So why even bother? God knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. So why go to the cross? God knows who's going to do what. So why go to the cross? It's the love that God has for us and hoping that we will repent and change. So the message he had been given to declare was not his, but the Lord's. That was not placed in him to hold to himself. God give you a message, you can't keep it to yourself. You're supposed to speak that word. Jeremiah said, when I tried to hold back, it was like a raging fire shut up in his bones. In verse 9, he couldn't contain it. He couldn't keep it to himself. So he said, you know, as much as these people are getting on my nerves, as much as these people are mocking me, he's saying, you know, I want to quit, but the fire that's on the inside of me is burning that I got to say something. So he basically, the fire was making him rise above his discouragement. You know, one thing we need to do is be honest with God. Jeremiah was upset with God. He was mad. He basically said, you lied to me about how this was going to work. You know, I warned you that I was tired of the mocking, tired of people making fun of me. You forced me to say things that I didn't want to say. You got me in trouble. Jeremiah said, God, I want you to be silent right now. I don't want you to talk. This is Jeremiah talking to God. So here we see that God has been warned by Jeremiah. God has received Jeremiah's explanation, and God has been silenced by Jeremiah. But nevertheless, God persisted. Even when Jeremiah is determined to basically unfriend God. If Jeremiah had a Facebook page, he would have unfriended him. Y'all know how you do on Facebook. When you get mad at somebody, I don't know how you do. I don't have Facebook. I know you can unfriend them. That let that person know, oh, they just unfriended me. Must be mad at me. Y'all follow me? So if Jeremiah had a Facebook page, he would have unfriended God. He would have told God, this joker just unfriended me. All right. But nevertheless, even when Jeremiah unfriended God to block God from his Facebook page, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. See, he couldn't help it. Even though he unfriended God, but the word of God was burning so intensely inside him, he couldn't give it up. He was honest. He felt deceived by God. The word deceived means to be enticed or seduced. So let me tell you something. God does not trick us, nor does he mislead us. But Jeremiah felt that God had lured him into the ministry only to make him a laughing stock. That's not what God does. He was upset because he felt like, okay, God, now I'm in this ministry. These folks are laughing at me. These folks are making fun of me. These folks are disrespecting me. I ain't signed up for this. I ain't want to be a part of this. He was crying out for the people to repent, yet they continue toward destruction, continue to sin. Here it is every Sunday. You know, I get up here, I preach. I tell people how good God is, and you know, people still do what they do. It's hard. Is it wrong to be angry with God? First, we must remember that anger is an emotion. And often emotions are neither right nor wrong. See, here's the thing. Let me say this. It's what we do with our emotion is a separate issue. Many times people, when they find out that I'm a pastor, and if I get angry or upset about something, they be like, I can't believe you upset. I can't believe you got angry about that. I can't believe, man, I'm human. I have emotions, man. I mean, I ain't dead. If I didn't get upset about anything, then I'm dead. But I can't understand how people make it seem like pastors are supposed to be. All day long, even when I'm driving my car, I'm supposed to be like this all day long. No. I see things that upset me, makes me mad. God gave me these feelings, these emotions. That's how he wired us. So somebody's sinning. We supposed to do that? Y'all done said,
I'm just being real with y'all. But people, y'all should understand, when you're on call to be a pastor, understand what we go through. People look at us and say, I can't believe you. I can't believe you. I can't believe you. Come on, I'm human. According to some people, I don't have the right to get upset, to be angry, or to voice my concern or anything of that matter. I'm being real with y'all. If I speak against something, they'd be like, what are you on? You shouldn't be saying anything. If you feel angry towards God, you should let God know. God's big enough to handle it. I promise you that. And he's strong enough to handle it. So talk to God about whatever it is you're going through. He wants you to pour out your heart to him. He wants you to express what's in your heart. Didn't Jesus pour out his heart to God in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was on the cross? We should do the same thing. Hold nothing back when you pray. Tell the Lord exactly what's in your heart, especially the bad feelings. By pouring out these emotions, we are freed from their hold, and we enter more deeply into the loving embrace of God. God does not want us stuck in anger or anger that triggers other negative things. This is why we should be honest with God in prayer. We should go before God as we are, not pretending to be someone we're not. If we are honest with God in prayer, we will feel a sense of deep freedom, and we will find ourselves having a deep relationship with God and less discouragement. To bottle up our anger, even anger towards God, does only harm, never good. Be honest, again, even in your prayer. God wants real people. Amen? Honest and straightforward, who pour out their hearts before him, bringing him all their motives and their emotion. The truth is, God knows the depths of your heart anyway. You don't believe me? Psalms 139. Even if you don't tell God, God already know it. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar off. Even if you don't tell God, before it even come into your mind, God already knows what you're getting ready to think. He already knows what you're getting ready to say. Now, that's a bad person when they know what you're getting ready to think. It's kind of like, if I want your opinion, I'll give you one. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to give you an opinion. So here it is, even in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? I'm going to tell y'all, you ain't going to fool God. He already knows what you're thinking. So just go ahead and tell him. Be real with him, because he's going to be real with you. Be obedient. Keep doing what you've been called to do. Amen? God gave you your marching orders. That's your marching orders. Do it. People ain't going to like it. You ain't going to be the most favorite person in the world. If that's what you're looking for, a popularity count, a vote, you ain't going to get it. I can tell you right now, you become a preacher, less people like you. Y'all think I'm playing? I had to take a drink on that one. Because of Pasher's unjustified action, Jeremiah was ready to let God go. And just, I'm done with it. But he couldn't do that. So he would not be at peace doing anything else, because he was called to do this. He wouldn't be at peace. God's message was like fire to shut up in his bones. So Jeremiah had something in his bones that would not let him cool down. Hanging around with the Lord. Let me say this to you. The Bible says that he is a consuming fire. I mean, y'all heard that before, right? Deuteronomy chapter 9 and 3. God will serve as a consuming fire to destroy Israel's enemies. Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 28 and 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for the receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken,
And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. The concept of God as a consuming fire includes both the ideal of God's jealous, holy nature and his judgment upon those who oppose him. See, I've always found out that if you get close enough to the fire, you will get hot. Amen? There was other preachers in the Bible that, you know, first century who would not be silenced. You know, then you have in Acts, Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them in Acts chapter 8 and 5. He was on fire with the gospel. Think of Timothy, Titus, Aquila, and Priscilla, those noble people and, you know, men and women who Paul described as fellow helpers to the truth. Think of the persecuted saints in Jerusalem who were scattered but still went everywhere preaching the word of God. They was on fire for God. Duty demands that we speak. Amen? One thing I know, true Christians are under orders. Amen? We got to preach the gospel. We cannot be true to our Lord and remain silent about the gospel. The good news must be told. This is why they said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, they said that for a reason, because they were saying that even if it meant death, there it is. For Christ I die, and for Christ I gain. They ain't concerned about what man can do to them. They're concerned about what the Lord would do to them. See, fire ignites, and God's word sets light to men's soul. God's word is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to touch and burn our conscience so that we become aware of the things that are displeasing to God. Okay? So when you are in God's word, you know what's displeasing to him. You ain't out there like some people where everybody needs to just be happy. Uh-uh. Think about this for a moment. If everybody was happy, that means there's got to be somebody that's unhappy. Because that doesn't work. There's some unhappiness somewhere. Let me say this. Fire purifies. We sit in front of a fire to be warm, encouraged, and cheered up, and God's word does just that. Often we are discouraged and downcast, hopeless and cold. Then we attend church, and we hear the word of God from a preacher. Then it gives us that warmth that the fire that God's word has, that when it made us cold, it warmed us up. This is why Jeremiah said it's like fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah in chapter 23 and 29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord. On their way to Emmaus, remember on that first Easter afternoon, two disciples were joined by a stranger. As they walked and talked together, the stranger explained what the scriptures had to say about Christ. What was the reaction of the disciples? Well, in Luke chapter 24 and 32, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? While he walked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, when Christ opens the scriptures to us, we will find that there is fire on the inside. The Bible said they shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. God's word is like fire. If you're cold, it'll warm you up. Let me say this to you. Fire gives life. Place your hand on the dead body of a loved one, and there is only coldness. Put your lips against the cheeks of a living. Breathe in friend. And there is glow of warmth. Heat is life. Death is cold. Jesus says, I come that you might have what? Life. The life of Christ is in the fire.
And I'm going to say this to you. The devil has fire too. Oh yeah, the devil has fire. Devil's fire often flashes out in the form of anger. Amen? Anger and hate. So the devil has fire too. You can look that up in Ephesians chapter 4 and 26. Be angry, sin not. That's what the Bible says. Neither give place to the devil. The best way to quench the devil's fire is to take the heat out. I'm going to prove it to you. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When Nebuchadnezzar got mad, that was the devil. He turned up the fire. See, the devil has fire too. He lit it up, made it hotter than it ever was. But see, the Lord, guess what he did? He took the heat out of the fire because Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we not throw three in there? But why is we seeing four walking around in there? That's because God took the heat out of the fire, and it lets you know that the devil has fire too. So the best way to quench the devil's fire, you got to take the heat out. And the only way you can take the heat out, you got to get with the Lord. See, some people are lukewarm because they are too far back from the fire. People that spend a lot of time with the Lord are not up and down like a yo-yo. And I'm not saying that they don't have trouble, but they meet trouble head on by the power of God and keep going. When somebody come after me, I'm okay, that's fine. But guess what? When I get to God, because whatever draws you near to him got to be good. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. If it makes you closer to God, it's got to be good for you. Because God said, draw unto me. That's what happens. Folks come at you, go more into the word. You'll find your resting place in God's word. People that spend a lot of time with God have become convinced that greater is in he that is in me that is in the world. They are convinced. Now, if you have been lukewarm, you don't have to stay there long. Because why? There is a fanning. Woo, I know I'm preaching now. Y'all ain't got to tell me. You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm preaching. There is a fanning. Y'all know what happened when you fan something that's... I was raking some leaves one time, and I said, oh, man, a fire went out. I said, oh, I raised up a little bit. I said, oh, there it is. The Spirit of the Lord is fanning. Fanning people. So if your fire is, it seems like it's gone out, the Lord is doing a fanning this morning. Jeremiah had reached a place where he was ready to quit, but the fire wasn't out. When God began to fan, he just couldn't keep it to himself. The Lord already knew what was going on with him. The Lord said, do a little fanning. Do a little fanning on him. That's all he needed. He needed God. The people were getting to him. That's what happens in life. People are constantly pouring down and putting down on you and constantly talking down on you, and nobody is saying anything good about you, man, it'll get you there. God said, oh, I know what he needs. I know what you need. He couldn't be quiet about it. Jeremiah did not preach because he had to say something, but because he had something to say. Y'all may not have caught that one. Not saying it would have destroyed him. Man, if he had just sat there, it would have tore him up. That's what I'm telling y'all. You cannot sit. When the Holy Spirit is in you, you ain't going to sit still. It's going to make you move. It's going to give you boldness. That's why when the disciples was in the upper room, when Jesus was killed, when Jesus was buried, they were all hiding, right? But when the Holy Spirit came, what happened to him? Now Peter denied him. Oh, I don't know him. I told you I know the man. And stop asking me this question. I don't know him. But when the Holy Spirit came on him, Peter started preaching. He was a different person. It's like Popeye eating spinach. Brutus didn't mess with him when he got that spinach. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Brutus was tearing him up. But when Popeye got that spinach in him, Popeye said, come on, Brutus. He said, look at this now. Everything started. He said, enough is enough. Popeye got his strength. The disciples, when the Holy Spirit came, they were in this room, and I could see them. They was like, oh, oh, look at this. Woo! They got swole. Much of the church has been asleep. And when someone is asleep, you're insensitive to what is going on around you. This is true in the spiritual. If you are spiritually asleep, then you won't be excited about what is happening in the spiritual realm. Yeah, I see all this foolishness that's going on in the White House. I see all this foolishness with the government. I see all of these lying politicians. All you got to do is just play what they said in the 70s and the 80s or whatever. It's the same stuff. We ain't gonna raise your taxes. But they steady raising taxes. Here's my point. I don't care what they say. You got to know who holds your future. The Lord is calling us to awaken from our slumber and to fan the fire to get it burned. Add the fuel of the word of God. Check up on each other. Spend time with people and get excited about God's word. When you are called, you can't ignore the call. You understand what I'm saying? That is your duty. That is what you're called to do. The call comes from the heart, internal, as a result of the continued drawing from the Holy Spirit. God wants us to continue in this Christian journey. As Jeremiah walked around with the truth, something started to move on the inside of him. Jeremiah started to, you know, you get down and all of a sudden, man, people just coming down on you. But then when you start reflecting on God's word, see, David, that's why David was able to encourage himself. Because, see, nobody was encouraging David. So David is like, you know, man, forget this. You know, he started thinking of God's goodness. Next thing you know, the man danced out of his clothes. Praising God. Jeremiah's soul was on fire. And see, here's the thing. We need to give thanks to God. Because I know God has been good to you. Whether you admit it or not, I know God's been good to you. And see, ungratefulness is a common human fault. For example, when was the last time you thanked your parents for caring for you? You ain't got to answer that right now. But when was the last time you thanked somebody? See, that's a human trait of us to be ungrateful. We are some ungrateful people. That's why the children of Israel struggled in the wilderness. God was taking care of them. Their shoes didn't wear out. How many of y'all want to have some shoes that didn't wear out, that you ain't got to worry about going and buy some more? Amen? Well, I know that probably the ladies probably say, I don't know about that, Pastor. I was with you, Pastor, until you start talking about that. I don't need some new shoes anyway. I ain't been amen. You right there, Pastor. And the women got quiet. And men like, preach your own, Pastor. Yeah. Jeremiah felt like he was a laughing stock. And those around him, they were making fun of him. And sometimes, you know, people can make you feel like, you know, okay, what you doing for God, what you doing, you serving a God you can't see, you serving this and that God. And then people want to try to make you see how they picture God. The Bible says we worship him in spirit and truth. He's everywhere. There is things that we cannot imagine with our puny brains. Nothing that we can imagine. In verse 11, Jeremiah's prayer is answered by a renewed confidence that God is with him. Imagine God saying to you, I'm going to be with you when you go into that job tomorrow. You got problems on your job, God said, I'm going to be with you. And then let's say, you know, you're going into this board meeting. God said, oh, I'm with you. I'm going too. I'm going to be there. Matter of fact, I'm already there. I'm waiting on you to get there. Amen? You ain't waiting on God. Because he's everywhere. God's waiting on you to get there. He's outside of time. Time has no effect on him. He's already there. Waiting on you to get there on time. So imagine God saying, I'm with you. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. As long as you know that God is with you. If God is with you, who can be against you? You got God. I had a prophet to say to me every time. This prophet said, every time I see you, I see an angel dressed in white walking with you. I've had that said to me several times by prophet. They said, everywhere you go, I just see this angel dressed in white standing next to you. That lets me know that the power of God is with me. You got to be living right for the angel of God to be walking around with you, making sure that when trouble comes your way, that he's able to protect you. See, when you get to a point in your life where you don't know what to do and you have done everything that you can do, Jeremiah realized that he wasn't alone. The Lord was with him. And see, when you know that God is with you, you feel that much better about your position. See, we have to get to a point in our life where we have to start praising God. Regardless of where we are, regardless of how I feel, I got to learn that I got to praise God. Even when you're working out, these muscles are hurting, but you know what? I'm going to keep going anyway because guess what? It's going to benefit me in the long run. So even though you're going through pain, we have to, see, praise recognize a provider. That's why you got to praise him. So you recognize that God is your provider. And see, when you praise God, see, praise also acknowledge a plan. God has a plan for whatever it is that we are going through. And see, praise also accepts the present. It accepts what God is doing right now. Why? Because that was prophesied that what you're dealing with right now is going to happen. So in order for this to happen, you know, you got to get to there. Jesus told them, hey, let's go over to the other side. The storm was coming. He's the best meteorologist you can have. He like these meteorologists, sometimes they get it wrong. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you like it when they get it wrong. You don't like it when they say it's going to be sunny, but then it starts raining. Now you're going to switch to another weather channel because that one over there is a liar. But Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side. But going through the other side, they had to, they experienced some trouble, some storms. But didn't they make it to the other side? That's what I read. Amen. Didn't they make it to the other side? Praise releases power. Now, praise releases power. When you praise God, in spite of what you're getting ready to go through, it releases the power of God. It confuses the enemy. I'm doing all of this and this ain't phasing you? Hold up, come on now. You make the devil do this. You make the devil do this, come on now. I'm doing all this. This ain't phasing him. So the devil's like, okay, let me try something else. If it still ain't phasing, praise God. Continue standing. Don't let the devil knock you down. When three Hebrew boys said, "King, we go ahead and do what you're gonna do. We ain't gonna be careful in how we respond to you. We know you a king. We ain't gonna be careful. If that's what you wanna do, then do it. Do you, man. Go ahead and do you. I'ma do me, man. We ain't bowing down. I'm sorry. We standing strong. You wanted to, we going over there." They bound him. You understand what I'm saying? And they put him in there. But they praise God anyway. Despite their situation, we have to understand that we're going to face oppositions. None of us will face opposition like these brothers and sisters have in the Bible. We're getting close to this. Amen? There's other countries that are. We are close to it, but we are thankful that we can come and worship and praise God. But my point is, when you praise God, it releases, it opens the door for God's power to move into your life. That's what prayer does. Praise does. It releases the power of God on your life. Amen. This is First Sunday. This is when we partake in the Lord's Supper.
To mold me, fill me and use me, Spirit of
consuming fire, and that's how we should feel. Every time we take communion, we should think about what God did, and it should ignite a spiritual fire in us all over again because of God's great mercy. So as we come come to take communion, let's remember to examine ourselves so that we can take it worthily, honestly, and reverently. Heavenly Father, we thank you for communion. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to eat of your body and drink of your blood. We thank you, God, for your sacrifice, that sacrifice that continues everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. Bless us, Lord, as we take this communion, Lord. If there is some sick among us, let it heal us. Let it deliver us. Do what you need to do in each one of our lives as we give you honor and reverence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fire, sweet perfume is awesome presence fills this room. This is holy ground. Oh, oh, this is holy ground. Hey, oh, this is holy ground. So bow down, bow sweet. Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, oh, stay right here with us, oh, with us, God, filling us with your love, oh, and for these blessings we lift our hearts with praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Hallelujah.
Whosoever will, let them come. Doors of the church is now open.
Amen. Let us all stand.